graffiti.
Welcome back to the Boston Sports Syndicate Podcast. Michael and Bill Travers bring it to you. Bill, what's going on?
Not too much. How are we doing?
Good. I went with a speedy intro there, trying to throw you off the scent.
You didn't slow it down. You did.
Didn't slow it down. Kept it going. All business today. That's what we're going with. We're going with all business today. All
right. Let's get to it.
So we, truthfully, I say we're all business. We're probably only going to talk about two teams here. I'm thinking this is going to be a very Celtics and Patriots. I don't want to say Patriots, but football heavy episode here. It's been a couple of weeks since we last met, and the Super Bowl has happened, some retirement happened, and some other things have happened. But before we get into that, and then the Celtics trade deadline happened, some Bruins news. But I feel like if you want to hear the Bruins news, you should listen to the Bleed Black and Gold podcast that'll be coming out at some point, probably Monday. But probably Tuesday. But at some point in the near future here, we'll talk about the Marchand suspension, Bergeron getting hurt, Rask retiring. That was the retirement I was talking about, by the way. It's the biggest retirement in Boston right now is the Tuukka Rask retirement. But anyway, before we get into any of that, do you have any quick thoughts, opening thoughts, leading thoughts, anything you want to talk about?
No, I think we'll just wrap any of my thoughts into what we're planning on talking about. I assume we will touch on that other retirement that made some news on the sports scene. And I have a tangential thought that I want to bring up related to that.
Maybe. We'll see if I feel like talking about it. The only thing I want to bring up is, and I don't even remember if I brought this up on the last podcast. I don't think I would have. Is what a absolute bummer the Winter Olympics feels like. Just an absolute, I think that's the best way to describe it. Just a bummer. I look forward to NHL Olympic hockey. I mean, to Olympic hockey every single Olympics. And I don't know what's going on with these. Like, it just feels like they're not even happening. Maybe it's the time difference. Maybe it's the fact that, like, the gold medal women's game is tonight. It's USA Canada. It's at 11:10 tonight. It just doesn't feel like it's a thing. I love watching hockey. I love watching curling. It's the only time I ever watch curling. And it just doesn't – the whole thing just doesn't feel like it's happening or going on.
I got to agree with you. I think the time difference is a big factor. I think the fact that there are no fans there just kind of saps the energy out of it. You're not getting the sound of the crowd, and it's kind of a throwback to where we were with our own sports last year. So, yeah, I agree with you. I love the Winter Olympics much more than the Summer Olympics. The downhill skiing and the
snowboarding,
the speed skating. Those are more newer stuff. The speed skating, which I don't think I've seen any of.
Yeah.
Not that I've watched a lot of this year.
Year's
Olympics.
You can't watch it. It's impossible to watch.
Why is it impossible to watch?
Because you feel like I guess if you don't follow it closely, but like for me, I like to watch the hockey games, obviously. But the problem is they play at freaking 8 a.m. I'm not sitting around watching that. First thing in the morning. They play at 11 o'clock at night. You already know who wins by the time you watch the game. You already know who wins when it's on in primetime at 8 o'clock. I mean, we watched the USA-Canada men's game the other night. We already knew who won. Yeah, we sat there and watched it, but we already knew who won. That's not fun.
Yeah, it does take the drama out of it. And the United States seems to be lacking in some of the superstars that they've had in the past, or they're not performing up to expectations the way that we thought they would, like Michaela Schifrin in the skiing events. She kind of pulled a Simone Biles this year and just disappeared from the competition. So, yeah, it's been tough watching.
And, fun fact, the men's quarterfinals was played today on the 16th, the 15th and the 16th. USA and Canada both out. Neither one is even playing for a medal.
I didn't know Canada. How could they both be out? Oh,
they're both out.
Both out of a quarterfinal?
Yeah, they're both. Oh, okay. They both got knocked out in the quarterfinals. Neither team will be playing for a medal.
I heard that they did. The U.S. men got knocked out.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that Canada did too.
At 2 o'clock last night, the men's team lost to the Slovakian team in a shootout, and then Canada lost 2-0 to Sweden. I want to say this afternoon.
But, of course, we've still got the women going for the gold medal.
Against Canada. Yeah, but, I mean, both should be a foregone conclusion that they're going to play for. I mean, maybe Sweden. But it should be a foregone conclusion that at least one of those two teams will get a medal. One of those two teams should at least get a gold medal, and neither one is playing because the NHL debauched it so bad. But anyway.
Yeah, and that is death for NBC looking at the business side of it, because – who's going to watch a Czechoslovakia-Finland final?
Nobody.
Nobody here. Well,
nobody
I mean, your diehards will, but I mean, even it's then, not going to draw the ratings that U.S. Canada would.
Even then, I would consider. I don't know if I'd be a if I'm a diehard, maybe compared to most people, but I'm not going to watch it. I don't think I'll watch another. I don't think I'll watch another men's game for the rest of the tournament, because who knows that the gold medal game might be at 11 o'clock on freaking Sunday. Nobody's watching that anyway.
Well, I mean, something like that, they could play the gold medal game late there on a Sunday night, so it's on like in the morning here. Or is it the other way around? Because I know there was
last night
I was watching, and it was some snowboard event or some skiing thing where they do all kinds of flips and jumps. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
And it was live from there, and it was, you know, 9:30 at night here.
Yeah,
it was live there, so it's like, probably late in the afternoon there.
It's like 9:40, 11, and then they I think they play at like 8:30 in the morning here, which I would assume would be prime time there.
Probably, yeah. It's probably about like an 18-hour time difference.
That's tough. That makes it fun to watch. Anyway, yeah, really, really get hyped up for the 8:30 a.m. gold medal game. Just do a lot of pre-gaming for that. Have a bowl of Wheaties and then get ready to go.
It's like those people who get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning so they can watch Japanese baseball or Korean baseball.
Yeah.
You know, when that was going on, when we had nothing here.
Yeah, at Maddie Kiwoom. So let's get into the two teams. We're gonna talk Celtics for a little bit, and then it's just gonna basically be all football. So
we can talk a little Bruins. We can talk about the Tuukka retirement. Maybe it's like a teaser for the black
fine,
and gold.
Fine.
You guys do a great job on. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that to you.
No, you hadn't, but thank you so much. Let's talk about the Celtics. The big thing about the Celtics, two big things right now about the Celtics, in my opinion. The trade deadline, which they make three deals. They bring in two players, one new, one old, and they ship out seemingly the entire bench. That's kind of what it felt like. Like not the entire bench, but the depth pieces on the team seemingly all got shipped out. Dozier, Bol Bol, newly acquired and flipped Bol Bol, Josh Richardson, Romeo Langford. Who else did they get rid of? Enes Kanter.
Schroeder.
Enes Freedom.
They got rid of Schroeder. They got rid of Richardson.
Yep. Schroeder, Fernando. And they bring in Tice, and they bring in Derek White, and then they get a pick. I don't really care about the pick trade. That doesn't really matter to me. It's really the Derek White. And
they gave up a pick.
Say it again?
They gave up a pick.
No, in the Bol Bol Dozier trade, they got a future second-round pick from the Magic, which is barely even news. So we talk about Derek White for Josh Richardson, Romeo Langford, and a first round pick for next year, and a 2028 pick swap. Talk about thinking about the future. Jesus. 2028 first round pick swap, top one protected for the Celtics.
There are just so many of these convoluted rules in basketball.
God, it's
brutal. I try to read up on it, and when they get into the salary cap stuff, the way they have to trade players just to fit the salary cap, I mean, these guys are like commodities that are being traded. I mean, when they acquired Bol Bol and the other guy you were talking about, they had to take them on just to fit the salary trade that they made earlier this year when they cleaned out some salary cap room. They bring these guys in, they're hurt, they're never going to play for the team. Then they turn around and flip them again in another move. Richardson was the same thing. He had to go in that deal just to fit the salary cap parameters when they made the trade for Derek White. It's just ridiculous the way these guys move around, and they're just, like I said, commodities.
Isn't it amazing that it takes? I honestly feel like you need some sort of degree to trade in the NBA, you need a minor in NBA trading in order to do
capology.
So. Yeah, like I'm being sarcastic but serious at the same time. You see, like this year I think there was a four team trade to make the cap work. Like, huh? What? Or yeah. Four teams trading together. Like, what? What's going on here?
Then throw in mid-level exceptions and Larry Bird rights. And oh, my God. It just gives you a popsicle headache.
Yeah, it's brutal. But it's amazing that, like, you see stuff like that for a guy like Derek White, which, by the way, admittedly don't know too much about, but everybody's big on him. He's, like, a better Marcus Smart. I don't know. But it's whatever. Be that as it may. Or this, you need to trade three players to get Daniel Tice. Huh? What?
Who was the guy you gave away in the first place because it had to fit the deal you were making at the time for salary cap purposes.
Right.
So you had to trade him away. Now you bring him back. know, it's just the nature of the NBA. These guys are like interchangeable pieces.
But
at a certain level on the roster, they're just interchangeable pieces among the teams, and it's like mixing and matching. You know, you got your superstars at the top that make all the money. Those are the guys that draw all the attention, and then you've got these mid-level guys that are just. They just bounce around from team to team. It makes it really hard to follow.
Just to make cap work. But what's crazy to me is guys like Daniel Tice, you have to do this cap maneuvering for guys like Daniel Tice, and it's like, who really cares about Daniel Tice? And nobody other than Celtics fans. But how do superstars get traded in the NBA? Like, how does James Harden get traded at the deadline in the NBA when you need to do all this stuff in order to make a deal for Daniel Tice work or for something white? What's his name? Derek White. For Derek White to work. And yet other teams pull off a trade and you – like, I don't even know how you begin having that conversation on how to trade a James Harden with that contract and being – and I understand you get Ben Simmons back.
Well, I was going to say you flipped him for Ben Simmons, who is another max – close to max contract guy.
I understand that, but it's just
the
like
the bigger question is, how does somebody like James Harden, who pouted his way out of Houston,
my God, this guy,
not even a year and a half ago, and then he does the same thing in Brooklyn,
yeah,
pouts his way out of there and gets traded.
The thing that blows my mind. This is what blows my mind about not even the fact that he pouted his way out and he goes to a location that you think he wants to be in. So then all of a sudden Kyrie's there and everybody hates Kyrie and then he's not the guy to go to. So now he pouts and then he gets traded out. Is that these teams keep trading him to good teams? Like, why are we giving him more chances? Why, if you're Houston, why are you trading him to Brooklyn after they have Kyrie and they have KD? Why are you putting him in a situation that it's going to better him? And then if you're Brooklyn, why are you putting him in a situation where he now just gets traded to the best team in the East? You just traded him. You were the best team in the East.
You traded him to your competitor.
You were the best team in the East. Now, arguably, they're the best team in the East because you just gave them one of the best players in the league, one of the best shooters in the entire league. How stupid are these teams?
But you have to match up. You have to. You can't turn around and trade him to Detroit.
Why do you have to trade him,
period? Because Detroit doesn't have that player that can match up, and he won't go there anyway.
Why do you have to trade him, period? If he's not, like – I don't understand. And why on earth would you ever trade him to probably the team you're going to play in the Eastern Conference Finals? Probably the team you're going to play in the Eastern Conference Finals. Why would you ever do – or if not in the finals, I don't know what the standings look like at this exact moment, but you're probably going to face them in the playoffs. They're probably going to be the one seed. And now you're going to have to play. You have to go through them in the playoffs, and you just handed them one of the top – I don't know what he is anymore. Top 10, top 15 player in the league?
Yeah,
even if he's a top 15 player, that's one of the best – he's one of the best players in the league. That's what you need. And that's what they needed. I mean, realistically, what did the 76ers give up? A guy who wasn't playing for them anyway. They didn't give up anything.
And Brooklyn gave up a guy who probably wasn't far away from not playing for them.
Yeah, it's dumb. The NBA is a joke. It's a joke. That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting to. The NBA is an absolute joke.
I think we've established that fact long ago. In fact, I think that was the name of one of our episodes.
It was, and it is. And it probably was the same thing like this because guys were crying and all. But it's just like they just keep getting their way. At what point does a team put their foot down and be like, no, that's it?
It's totally different than the NFL. It's a player-driven league.
Still, I just...
Totally different.
I don't get it. But anyway, I'm off track. The Celtics trades themselves. And now they have played a couple games since the trade deadline. We've seen Derek White play. We know what Daniel Tice can do. Do you have thoughts? Have you watched games since the deadline? Have you seen White play and the team overall, how they look after the deadline?
Yeah, I think they're both good, solid pieces that this team needed, professional pieces. And the good thing about White is he played for Udoka. When Udoka was an assistant at San Antonio, and he also played with him on the U.S. team a couple years ago with Tatum and Brown. So, you know, he knows how these guys play. He knows how they work together. He fits the system that Udoka wants to do. So he's looked like a good addition so far. Came out smoking in the first game that he played, so everybody loves him because you always remember the first impression
of
a guy, so everybody's going to love him. But overall, he's just fit well. And Tice, I think, is just another solid big man that they needed, as well as Robert Williams has played. You need another force in the middle. So I think it was a good piece trade. You know, I think we all wanted to get that number three to go along with Tatum and Brown, but that just wasn't out there. They didn't have, unless they traded Tatum or Brown, didn't have the salary to match up in a deal like that. So to get good, solid pieces around them, and getting rid of Schroeder was addition by subtraction because that guy was a huge negative. You know, when you looked at his plus-minus, he was a huge negative on the floor.
I think he was worse in the league. I want to say he's bottom five in the league for plus minus, which is not great.
Right. So obviously, being able to unload him was a good one. Trading Richardson with some scoring pop off the bench. I think Langford's probably got a decent career, but he's probably going to end up being just one of these journeymen that bounces around the league from team to team. The other good point is guys like Pritchard and Nesmith should probably get more playing time than they were before to help them develop. So I think it's a really good move. Whether or not they're going to be in the mix, they've already climbed into sixth place. They're only 3.5 games out. So right now they're out of the play-in format if they can stay up there. And I just saw something on the news that said, 538 is now picking them as the favorite to win the NBA championship. So that's how fast things turn around. I think it's a bit of a stretch, and 538 doesn't have that good of a track record with political stuff. So I don't know how good they are with sports.
Yeah, I would say no on winning the NBA championship. That seems premature. I mean, they've won 9 games in a row, so that's the big thing now, and they've looked pretty good.
Other than the game against Philadelphia last night, they kind of went on the same stretch that the Patriots went on midseason, where they were playing teams that weren't that good, teams that were missing their stars. So, I mean, that's a good way to get on a roll, but they've got to do that against the good teams. Philadelphia was missing Harden last night. He didn't play. And, you know, you get those in the NBA where a team comes out, they're flat. You got another team that's throwing everything in. The Celtics were hitting their three-pointers last night, which if they're hitting their three-pointers, they're great. When they're not hitting their three-pointers, that's when they run into trouble. And it was just one of those perfect storms last night where nothing was going for Philly, and then they just tanked it after the half. And that's what led to the blowout. So I wouldn't put too much stock in a 50-point win over Philadelphia.
No.
Because I think if you face them again in the playoffs, they're going to be a much different team by then.
True, but they're still a team it's still a team on your schedule, still a team. I mean, and it's not like it was close. I don't even know if Harden makes a difference last night with the way the Celtics were playing and shooting. They also put up points against the Nets. I understand they didn't have their big guns either. They beat the Heat, also down some guys. But still, these are all teams that they beat the Nuggets. Like there are some decent teams in this little stretch here. The Hawks, another pretty good team. That they've beaten some. I mean, I say that the Hawks are below 500, but they've beaten some pretty good teams.
The good sign is, prior to that, they were getting out to big leads and then choking it away in the third and fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the third.
They
quarter.
They flipped that around, where they're holding on to these leads now and even extending them.
Yeah, they're
learning how to win.
It's and also.
I know I showed you the clip, and I don't know if any of our listeners saw it. It was in the game Friday night, which was against the
Detroit.
Nuggets.
Detroit.
There was a possession that they had that.
No, the Nuggets. You're right. The Nuggets.
It was the Nuggets.
Sorry.
It's hard to describe, but it was a possession that they had that the ball, everybody on the offensive end touched the ball within the 3-point circle, and the ball just swung around the perimeter, and it led to a Rob Williams dunk. And it was just beautiful ball movement, the kind of stuff that we don't see that much in the NBA, and it was just beautiful basketball. And I know I said to you, if they can play like this, I'll be watching them every game.
Well, they have been easier to watch. They have been a lot easier to watch. They've been making more shots. They've been moving the ball a little bit better. Tatum has improved. He's looked better. Brown has been better. I know, Smart. Ooh, everybody loves Smart. Boy, he's having such a good year. Blah blah blah. Don't care. Still hate him. I think this addition of White, which is kind of how this all started, has improved them on both sides of the floor. I understand he's a shooting guard. I understand he's a two. I understand, but I think he's more of a facilitator by the looks of it. Now, again, I don't know everything about him, so if that's a big NBA guy screaming at me at Preston, then just, you know, you can tell me I'm wrong. But he appears to be a facilitator and a defensive guard. So between him and Smart, you got a pretty good backcourt there.
Yeah, you do. And it makes
defensively,
it a little...
defensively,
right? Defensively. I mean, Smart in the point guard role, he has not taken as many of those crazy shots that we used to see him. He doesn't look at himself as the scorer. He is being a facilitator for Brown and Tatum and setting up Rob Williams. So you got to give it to him. I mean, you can take away the flashy plays where he dives all over the place, the stuff like that, which the fans love and I know you hate.
No. It's not the diving plays that I hate. It's not. It's the It's the...
You hate the way people react to the diving place.
No. Yes, but no. What I hate is everybody knows this kind of person. They will block... Okay, I can't... What's the equivalent of it in the NBA? They'll take a charge, okay? They'll Paul Pierce it. They'll take a charge, and then they'll go down because they want to say, hey, look how hard I just tried. Or he'll make a diving play and keep the ball in, and then he'll be touching his elbow and curled over for the next 5.5 minutes. Like, hey, remember that time I made that diving play and I'm so good? That's what I hate. That's what I hate. Hustle All right. because it's your job. Don't hustle because you want to tell us how hard you're hustling. That's what I hate.
Continue. All right, let's move on. We've talked about smart enough.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
It's. I mean, I have high hopes now for the Celtics. That's the thing. With these trades, it appears to me that they've gotten better. That they improved their roster. They didn't sell. They didn't sell out to get a superstar. They didn't flip the roster. They improved. They got better offensively. They got better defensively. They got a guy who knows the locker room and Tice. Something that they needed was another big man. And I think Robert Williams is legit. I think he is very, very, very legit. Agreed. So that could be your third guy right there. He could just you could have just fell into him right there.
I don't know if he's at that level, but when you've
not
got
offensively,
somebody...
but his whole game encompasses.
No, defensively, yes. Defensively, you're right. Well, I think we talked about it before. You know, he could kind of fill that role that Dennis Rodman filled with the Bulls back in the old days. That defensive guy that would shut you down. Yeah, he is. He is a presence in the paint. That's for sure.
He's a legit player, a very, very legit player. And it feels like you improved your role players, White, Tice, from Langford and Cantor or Freedom or whatever. And I think that they got better. And I think that they could be a team in the East, not the team, not the 76ers, but they could win a playoff series now.
They could get hot and make a run.
Maybe two.
Sometimes things line up. Right. Other teams get knocked out that you don't expect.
Yep.
Other players get hurt. They could make a run.
They could. Or they could lose to the Pistons tonight. I mean, but it seems like now they're a team. Like now it seems like they're in that mix. I mean, you're probably not. I would say they're in that Bulls Heat conversation. Because you have your the Bucks and the 76ers are going to be in, I guess, Brooklyn. Is probably your top tier. And then you have like that next tier, and it kind of feels like they might be in that next tier now. With the Bulls, the Heat, maybe the Raptors, like in that little cluster. Whereas before, you're probably looking at them with Charlotte.
Atlanta.
Like I don't want to say Washington, but like you're that second tier down. Which by the way, Cleveland, by the way, is two games out of first place. I'm looking at the standings right now, and I think it's a misprint.
I was just going to say the same thing, and that shocked me that they're that high.
It's got to be a misprint. Have they played more games than everybody else? Is that what it is? Are they the false hope? Like
they played
just...
the same amount of games as the Celtics.
What?
No, I'm sorry. They played one less game than the Celtics.
No. Oh yeah. What's going on there?
One of those quiet teams.
Nobody. They literally have nobody.
No. I could not name one player on that team. Does Kevin Love still play for them?
Kevin Love, Rajon Rondo.
Okay. Oh, Rondo's on Cleveland?
Yeah.
Again, my point of guys who just bounce around from team to team.
Lauri Markkanen, who I'm pretty sure also plays goalie for the Finnish team here in the Olympics. Like I literally know who none of these players are. None. Maybe that's why they're good. Or LeVert, Caris LeVert. Anyway, that was a little bit of a shocking moment. But anyway, now it feels like to me the Celtics are in that next tier, it also feels like they've been in that same next tier for the last, I don't know, 20 years.
Well, they've made the Eastern Conference final 3 out of the last 5 years.
Yeah, but it just, that's what I'm, yeah, okay. Yeah, but they they got a little lucky in the bubble.
That happens.
No, you're right. You're right. It does. You're right. It does. And they probably should have beat the Heat. But whatever. But it's an improvement. And I think, it also goes to show that Brad Stevens might have a pair. Brad Stevens might actually be able to get some trades done. Whereas Danny Ainge, over the last 4 years, 5 years, ever since the 2011 or whatever it was, really hadn't made a trade. Especially
the knock on Ainge was he had to win the trade.
Right. And that's
so
the only way he would make the
nobody
trade.
Nobody wanted to deal with him anymore because he was just not offering fair trades.
Yeah.
Stevens is offering fair trades to people.
Yeah.
The best trade is the team is the trade where both teams win. Both teams get something.
Which could arguably
be... Stevens is smart enough to know what his team needs.
Which could arguably be what the Tice deal was. Arguably. I mean, the Rockets, meh. But they got I don't think Schroeder's a... I mean, I know he wasn't great here, but I don't think he's a bad player. I remember him being with Atlanta and being a problem against the Celtics. Remember he's got that little dumb one blonde patch of hair? And he died. It was like one little square in the front of his head. That's the right guy, right? When he was with Atlanta.
We should have had Derek on to talk about that.
Okay, I know I'm right. When Al Horford was in Atlanta, that's he was on
our
team.
Back
and he was,
a ways with that one.
And he was a problem for the, Celtics back then. He might have been a rookie back then.
6 years ago? 7 years ago?
I don't know. I mean, people, these things happen. It still happen. It's real.
Guys get older.
Yeah, tell me about it. And, yeah, that's how I feel about the Celtics. I'm actually optimistic about the Celtics. Like now I feel like watching a Celtics game isn't as big of a burden as it was 3 weeks ago. Coming around on the Celtics.
Yeah, it's something that you'll want to do. Look for when's the next game? You know, you look for it rather than flipping through the channels and the Celtics are on, let's see how they're doing and then
nothing else is on. Let's see what happens here.
They give up a 15-point lead in 5 minutes and then you flip away.
Yeah. I still have to listen to Scal though, so I guess I won't watch the games.
Well, there's good and bad with everything.
Let's move on to the Bruins quickly. Tuukka Rask retires. I want to get your thoughts on that. I also want to get your thoughts on Brad Marchand's suspension and the antics that Brad Marchand pulled against the Penguins in order to receive that suspension. So, which one do you want to go with first?
Why don't we talk about Tuukka?
Okay, what are your thoughts on his abrupt retirement?
I think they rushed him. I think he should have gotten a little bit. They wanted him to play a little in the AHL, and then the AHL got shut down for COVID.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they brought him right into Boston. It seems like he should have got a little bit more seasoning, a little bit more conditioning. Sounds like they rushed him back too soon. He re-injured himself, and then he just gave up, which kind of goes along with his MO over the past years.
Here's the best question. Is Tuukka Rask a Hall of Famer?
I would say no.
He's the winningest goalie in a original six franchise history.
Yep. How many cups did he win as a starting goalie?
Zero. He did win a cup, but he did not win it as
a backup.
He was a backup. Won a Vezina. Won a couple of the Jennings Awards, which is the lowest goals against for the goalie tandem. You're combined for your two goalies.
How many years did he play?
God. That's a good question. Well, he played in 2011. When they won the cup, he went to the cup.
Relatively young at that point. He's only 34 now, right?
Yeah, went to the Stanley Cup in 2013. Went to the Stanley Cup in 2017. So, I think it's a good question. He started his career in 2007. Played four games. Played one game. 2009, 2010, he played 45 games. So I guess that would be the first year he really played. And then he took over 2013. That's the year that they went to the – that's the year after they went to the Cup. He had 36 starts in 2012, 2013. That's the year that they lost to the Blackhawks in the Cup.
So he had basically a 10-year career as a starter.
Yes, basically. 308 wins, 165 losses, a 2.28 goals against average, and a 9.21 save percentage.
I don't think he has the...
It's tough.
I mean, he's good, not great. I'm a small hall person. I think the hall in any sport is best of the best. So, and he doesn't have the longevity, I don't think, to get in.
10 years?
He had a few... 10 years is not a tremendously long career.
Okay.
I mean, had he been the best goaltender in the game, won a couple of cups in those 10 years... Yeah, okay, maybe he gets in the hall. But I don't know, I just don't think his overall resume is enough for me to get him in the hall. I'm a small hall guy. It's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good.
Well, you're fair. So he'll be in the Bruins Hall of Fame, but not in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Right, right.
Fair. I think I think it's a great question, and I haven't really formed an opinion on it because I want to do a little bit more research. So that's why I'll talk about it on the Bleed Black and Gold podcast.
No, see, you don't do research on Hall of Fame.
No, I have to because
you should know somebody as a Hall of Famer when you're watching him play.
See, I don't because I feel like there's so many guys that you look at and it's like, well, yeah, he was one of the best goalies in the league for the time that he played. And then you talk about statistics, and then you talk about trophies, and it's like, okay, what about Carey Price? Has Carey Price won a Stanley Cup? Was Carey Price the best goalie on the planet for 5 years? Marc-Andre Fleury. Think he's better than Tuukka Rask? He's won three? He won three Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh? Two or three Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh? So based on trophies, he's gonna go into the Hall of Fame? Is he better than Tuukka Rask?
No, it's a sum of all their qualifications.
Agreed. I don't know. I think it's a good question, and I need to look into it a little bit more. I need to see what the threshold is for goaltenders on whether I think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame.
I think it's a slippery slope when you start comparing stats, especially
different time frames.
The further back you go,
different time frames, which obviously comes into play. If you look it up, I guarantee you he probably has a better save percentage and a lower goals against average than Patrick Waugh. Guaranteed. Yeah, over the career. But it's a different time frame. Marty Brodeur, probably another one. He probably has a lower goals against and a higher save percentage than Marty Brodeur.
Brodeur play 20 years?
Yeah, no, but still, it's different time.
Which maybe the middle of it, he was one of the most dominant goaltenders in the game.
Brodeur's in no doubt. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying if you're comparing, you can't just compare stats because of different time frames, different eras.
But if a guy plays into his 40s, that's going to bring his goals against numbers up. You know, his save percentage is going to be lower because he's not. He doesn't have the reflexes he once had, so that's.
But also, if you played in the 80s and the early 90s, the game was completely different, and guys were scoring left and right because goalies weren't really goalies until Brodeur and Hasek and Waugh. Then like,
and goalies were also strapping couch cushions to their legs to cover more area.
Exactly. So it's not you can't compare. I guess you can't compare eras, but you can look at recent inductees and see. But I think it's an interesting question. I think Rask is a very, 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 very interesting conversation to see if he's Hall of Fame bound. So as far as rushing him back, I feel like I feel like at the time it felt like they handled it correctly. Hindsight's 20/20. But at the time, it felt like they handled it correctly. At the time, it felt like they gave him time. They got him ready. He'd been practicing with the team for what feels like 3 years. And, you know, he was working out with the team. And it just it felt like they gave him time. And maybe he should have gotten some reps down in the AHL. But is that much different than getting – I mean, I understand the game speed's a little bit different. But it's still game time. It's still – you know what I mean? He's still making the moves. He's still going through the motions and doing what he has to do in order to play goalie. Would it really have made a difference if he played in the AHL or the NHL?
Well, why do guys do it?
Skill level for one, but I mean the only thing is conditioning. Like, right. is just getting your conditioning back up. But that's if it was a ligament thing. To me, that would have happened whether he was playing, I don't know, scrimmage games or men's leagues or AHL, NHL. If it was a ligament thing, it's going to happen no matter what.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So I don't know. It felt like at the time that they did the right thing, that they tried to get him. They tried to get him in the AHL. It didn't work out because was it COVID or snow? I think there was a snowstorm the same time.
No, I thought it was COVID. It was like right around the time shortly after. Well, they shut the NHL down over the holidays.
Yeah.
And it was shortly after that I thought the AHL shut down for COVID too, or at least the Bruins had the Providence
they
Bruins
did.
Had a couple
they,
of games.
They did. I just couldn't remember because I know that we got a snowstorm that same weekend, and I couldn't remember. It probably was, but anyway, Brad Marchand gets suspended 6 games. Really helping your team, bud. Way to go. For slashing, sparring, what is it? Spearing. And then punching
well after the whistle.
Oh, brutal!
Trying to be let
absolutely
off the
brutal.
Ice.
I'm giving away my thoughts, but absolutely brutal. I can't remember. Was it Tristan Jarry? I want to say it was Tristan Jarry.
It was a goaltender. That's all I can tell you.
Good job. What team?
It was a goaltender. That's all I can tell you.
It was Tristan Jarry. Pittsburgh Penguins. It was Jarry.
Oh, I was gonna say Pittsburgh.
6-game suspension. Obviously, you've seen it. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a case of if this were his first offense, probably gets a game or two, but his reputation preceded him. I thought he had been behaving himself more lately. I mean, still being kind of that.
He just got suspended for slew-footing somebody.
That's true.
Literally like 2 weeks ago.
But I mean, he hasn't licked anybody for a while. That's so, you know, I thought he was on his better behavior.
Yeah, way to set the standards really high for him. But, anyway, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, no, it was his reputation, you know, clearly. I mean, he had the slew foot earlier this year. I'd forgotten about that. And what did he get for that? 3 games? 4 games?
I don't even remember.
So, I mean, no matter what he does now, he's got that reputation. So he's going to get slapped with a harsher penalty. No, I thought he had been on his better behavior the last few years, but something's going on with him this year. And, of course, it coincided with Bergeron getting hurt in that same game. So that was
a
little brutal stretch for them for a couple of games afterwards.
Yeah, tough go for the Bruins in that 10 minutes where Bergeron comes out and then Marchand punches Jari in the face and then tries to spear him in the neck. Here's the thing. If this was legitimately anybody, pick the cleanest player in the league. Ryan O'Reilly almost went an entire season without taking a single penalty. Pretty sure he had 2 penalty minutes 1 year. He took 1 high-sticking penalty, and it was like in the last game, and the ref had no choice but to call it. And I'm not even being a little bit sarcastic. I think that's actually true. And if it was Ryan O'Reilly who does that to a Bruins goaltender, Bruins fans would lose their minds about the fact that somebody punched their goalie in the head. And you would never, ever, ever hear the end of it if that's the case. And I just feel like, yep, 2013, 2014, 2 penalty minutes. 2017, 2018, 2 penalty minutes. That's not 2 penalty. That's 1 penalty all year. 81 games, 1 penalty. 80 games, 1 penalty. That's absurd. Anyway, the if it was anybody else, the Bruins fans would be crying. They'd be, you know, it would be, oh, this guy needs to get thrown out of the league. Imagine for 3 seconds it's Tom Wilson. Forget about it. It would be like when Chara hit Pacioretty into the boards and people would be calling the police on Chara. That's what would have happened if this was Wilson. In the same token, Bruins fans are crying because Brad Marchand got 6 games. And it's like, what do you expect at this point? The guy's been given warning after warning after warning. Oh, but it hasn't been for 5 years, Mike. You don't understand. No. It just doesn't go away. Well, by the way, the rule written, if it hasn't happened in the last 3 years, they can't go back to it. No, people don't forget. That's not like, you're right. It's 100% reputation. Now, is 6 games too much? Is 6 games too much for what ended up happening?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Way too much.
When you look at it on its own merits,
it's not too much.
He drew blood or anything like that.
Absolutely, way too much. Give him a game or two, maybe 2. Call 3 for his reputation. I think 6 is even out of control. Really, I do. Honestly.
Now, did he appeal it?
He did, but
do they have that mechanism in the NHL where they can appeal it and get the suspension knocked down?
He did, but I don't know how it works, and I didn't care enough to look into how it plays out or how it Brad Marchand appeal. I don't care enough to know. So they hear it right away. They hear the appeal right away. And I don't even know what happened with it. So that's how much I cared. Because it doesn't matter to me, because it just feels like if player safety gives you the 6 games you're getting, like that's what it's gonna be. Who do you appeal to? The commissioner? The guy doesn't even have a backbone. You think he's gonna go against what player safety says? Give me a break. Give me a break.
I didn't know if they had somebody who metered out the penalties.
Truthfully, I don't know. I know that I mean, it's literally right here. Met with him Wednesday. I don't know. I'll have to read about it. I
guess the writer lost interest too. Never finished the story.
Yeah, that's all it says.
Was his second offense of the year, and you look at his total history. Yeah, that's going to happen. And what do you think is going to happen the next time he does something stupid like that? Is it going to be 7 or 8 games? 10 games? You know, say he loses his mind and goes after somebody and really gets into some type of scrum.
It says Bettman could allow him to come back in effective immediately if he decides that the 3-game suspension was enough.
Time off for good behavior?
Yeah, basically, yeah. So he's missed three games and he's got three more, but he brought it to the NHL and Bettman hears it, and then they can decide. He can decide on if he can rejoin the team immediately. Is he going to do that? Probably not. So, like, but there's also
games,
some.
He's already
also,
missed three games.
Yeah, he's halfway through. Halfway through. So the another crazy thing that I saw is Brad Marchand has given up more game checks, more money than anybody in the history of the NHL on all of his suspensions. More, it's like over $1 million just this year, I want to say.
Well,
already.
He's kind of a rare combination because, I mean, he's also a top scorer.
Yeah, he's a high play player.
Guys,
he's
which your guys like that usually aren't your goons.
Right.
They're not the guys getting into fights. So, yeah. So he's a double threat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not in a good way. Not in a good way. Not in a good way.
He scores a lot of goals.
Yeah,
so
no, that's amazing. That's but the problem is you need to be on the ice in order to do that, Brad. I don't
Yes.
Not a wizard. Not a wizard when it comes to the game of hockey. Pretty good.
Can't
not
score
a wizard.
From the penalty box. Even I know that.
No, can't score if you don't dress.
Can't score if you're in the on the ninth floor of the garden.
Can't score if you can't even get in the building. I mean, it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. So you know what? Like this was the biggest thing. My biggest problem with him when he was coming up. So you can always see he had the skill. He always had the hands. He's fast as hell. You see, I mean, he kills penalties like nobody's business because he's got all the speed and the hands and the vision and the shot. He's unbelievable. He's probably the best left wing in the game right now. Maybe Ovechkin. But he just couldn't keep it together. And you were right. He has been doing it. But it just goes to show you. One, you're right. What happens next? 10 games? So that's a good chunk of the season in the NHL.
And if the timing is wrong and he does it close to the playoffs.
Yep. There goes your playoff hopes.
There goes your season.
Yep. So I highly doubt that anything will happen like that again. I mean, could it have just been a frustration? There was something that happened in the second in between periods with them too. Like they were like fooling around, not fooling around, but Jari went to flip the puck into the crowd and to a Pittsburgh fan, and Marchand said no, not in my house, and knocked him off his stick.
That's
and then took it.
Down.
So like you know, it's like
he's trying to give the puck to a kid, wasn't he?
I don't know. They didn't really see who it was. Obviously they played it up like he was trying to give it to a Penguins fan, and Brad Marchand came by like swooping in like Batman, like no, not in my city, and then knocked it off his stick, and then threw the puck to the. One of the Bull Gang guys, but you just hope that it's a one-off thing. He gets his 3, 4, 5, 6 games, whatever he ends up actually serving, and learns, and that's it. That's the end of it, and we don't have to talk about it anymore because you hope that the Bruins are a playoff team and a contender as the trade deadline for them approaches, and you know you hope that they're going to be in contention to at least make some sort of run and be in the playoffs, and you hope that those chances don't get taken away because Marchand's a doofus.
So is there a silver lining where somebody else can get the chance to step up and get some game action with him out?
No. With the way that the NHL's been this year, everybody's getting game action between COVID and the amount of injuries. It feels to me like the NHL has had an absurd amount of injuries. And I know we don't talk about like many things here, but I need to tell this story. I currently am in a dynasty fantasy hockey league, and I've won I think 3 out of the first 4 years or something like that. I don't know, sick brag. I know I'm gross, but this year for injuries and everything has been crazy. My goaltenders for this season were Jake Allen of Montreal, Carey Price of Montreal, Mikko Koskinen of Edmonton, and Vitek Vanacek of Washington. All 5 of them were on IR at the exact same time. I had no goalies at all last week. Now, my goalies aren't great, but the rest of my team's pretty good. Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, I'm pretty good. But
so can you skate 6 guys when you don't have a goalie?
No, not an option. So, good question.
Like one of your youth hockey games that I remember. You guys didn't have a goalie that day, so you skated 6 guys.
That did happen. And pretty
and
sure
you
we got
still
a
won.
Win. Pretty sure we got a win. Yep. So I picked up.
Good times.
I picked up Matt Murray, who's Ottawa's goalie, and Anton Forsberg, who's also Ottawa's goalie. Now they play last night. Now I picked them up yesterday. Because I needed a goalie, period. Anybody with a pulse who plays. So I figured, let me pick up both of Ottawa's goalies, and that way at least one of them will play whenever Ottawa plays. And then one of my guys will come off of IR, and then he'll slide back into the lineup. Anton Forsberg doesn't travel with the team because he's feeling sick. Well, he's out. Matt Murray gets hurt in the first freaking period of the game, out for the foreseeable future, not even traveling the rest of the time with the team. So both of the goalies I just picked up then, hurt. I have
You've got to pick up like the Zamboni drivers in the stadiums that can fill in for goalies.
I have 7 goalies on my roster. all of them are on IR or hurt. Like, I mean, Matt Murray's not on IR, but he's got the little ambulance thing next to his name, or the Red Cross thing next to his name, because he's hurt. 7 currently. I'm porked. Porked. Screwed. Screwed.
Just one of those things. What can you do?
But it feels to me like that's my way of saying that nobody – I don't think like anybody's going to specifically get a chance to step up while he's out, because it feels like people have been getting chances all year between injuries, COVID, and the whole – you know, the whole thing. So it just feels like I don't think there's anybody that's going to really seize the opportunity to step into that line, because also Bergeron's hurt. So basically your second line is your first line now. So it's like, well,
Bergeron's
just
back though, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, but he was hurt. So like, wasn't really like anybody was getting really an opportunity. And I don't think anybody's even that is going to seize that opportunity anyway. So anyways, we're 45 minutes in roughly, and we haven't even talked about the Patriots yet. So let's move on to the Patriots. Or football, I should say. Are you frozen or deep in thought? I can't tell.
No, I'm just waiting for you to ask me a question. I'm just waiting with anticipation to see where you're going to go with football talk.
Not falling for it that early. Josh McDaniels leaves. That's where I'm going to go. Josh McDaniels goes to
Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. That was a little bit before my time, so I don't expect you to know that one.
Well, it sounded like
Elvis Presley. Only does he go, Ziegler goes, becomes a general manager there, takes McDaniels. McDaniels then takes half of the offensive coaching staff with him.
So that sucks. I don't know. That sucks. Like, okay, they'll just fill it with Joe
Belichick's
Judge.
Belichick's out of kids, so he's going to have to start adopting.
Does Linda have any kids from a
I don't know
from
if
a previous marriage?
I think Nike is going to be the running backs coach now.
They bring in Joe Judge though. They got Joe Judge back.
Yeah. Well, great.
Yeah. So, but McDaniels leaves. I mean, that's I don't really care about the assistant coaches.
Judge did such a great job with the Giants.
That's true. Yeah, I know, he killed it.
Yeah. What is it with Patriots coaches that go to other locations to become head coaches and then come crawling with their tails between their legs back to the Patriots? McDaniels, Patricia, now Joe Judge.
Bill O'Brien is probably not far behind.
What does that – who? Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien. Right? Well, Bill O'Brien, I mean, he's had success as an offensive coordinator. He's done well in Alabama. But, I mean, just what – these guys get the jobs, destroy wherever they go, and then come back. It's like the rest of the league doesn't even want him.
Well, it's because they don't have Belichick as a binky anymore. So I think it kind of speaks to Belichick as a coach. It kind of speaks badly
of him as a coach.
His coaching tree.
I know there's been a lot of talk on that on his coaching tree, and it's just there's no success there out of his coaching tree.
Well, that shows you who's
Flores was probably the most successful and.
I do want to talk about Flores too. I do want to talk about that in a little bit. But first of all, McDaniels, were you surprised? I guess that's really the only question I have. Were you surprised that he actually left?
Yeah, a little bit. I was surprised he left. I was surprised he was offered a job after what happened with the Colts a couple of years ago.
Bingo. That was more my question.
Not surprised that it was the Raiders that offered him the job.
Well, I mean, they'll do anything. I mean, they just hired Gruden to a bazillion-dollar contract, and the guy's just an absolute tool.
What he should have done was kept the guy that they had, because and I forget what his name was. I mean, that team was in shambles. Not only did you have the Gruden situation, you had the player that was driving 130 miles an hour
Ruggs.
And killed somebody. You had they had a couple of other arrests or things like that with players. That team was in shambles, and that guy not only held them together, he got them to the playoffs.
Yep. No,
the guy deserved better.
I'm surprised that they didn't sign him or move the interim and give him head coach.
I think he deserved the shot.
More surprised that somebody would take a chance, and not surprised that Josh McDaniels would leave, because I feel like it's time. Like, he probably feels like it's time for him to get another chance. But I'm surprised that somebody would give him a chance, especially after what happened with Indianapolis. Shocking that somebody would give him another chance. And you know what? It's kind of a good situation for him.
Oh, it's a good – yeah, he's got a quarterback. They're a playoff team.
They've got an offense. They've got an offense.
It's not like he has to draft Tim Tebow again.
Right. No, he's got an offense. He's got a pretty good quarterback. I don't want to say great, but he's got a pretty good quarterback. He's got a stud tight end. Like he's that's
good running game.
Very good running game. He's set up better there than he was in Denver for sure.
And better than he would have been in Indy. Was Andrew Luck still there?
He was. He was. But and then they got Taylor. Well, I guess that's like a couple years in the future because they have Wentz, Taylor. I think Indianapolis is a good team too, but that's a different.
They're a good team now. They're going to need a quarterback.
And there's some quarterbacks that'll be available. But I hope McDaniel succeeds. I really do. I hope he does because I don't want him to live in the Brady Belichick shadow. I'd like him to get a little bit of success. And it might benefit him I'm assuming he's not going to call the plays. It might benefit him that he's not calling the plays, so there's no more screen passes going on. But I do. I hope he finds some success. I think he set himself up to in a pretty good spot to succeed.
Well, you see a lot of guys, they fail in their first go around. They go back to be a coordinator. They get that second shot.
Yeah.
And then they a lot of them do well. You know, they learn from their mistakes. And I think he's somebody that's smart enough to learn from the mistakes he did the first time around when he was the head coach with Denver. Like, not draft Tim Tebow in the first round.
Yeah, dumbass. Tim Tebow. There's another one. It's Brady, Smart, Tebow. Those three. It's like those are trigger words for me. Brian Flores.
Yep.
Probably the most shocking coaching departure in the league. I do not understand what the hell Miami is thinking or doing, or which I don't even. Did we talk about this the last time? Was he canned?
He had just been fired, and we were saying, you know, what did he do to deserve getting fired? He had just. I think I said he had two good seasons. He had actually been there three, but he had, if not a winning record, he was close to 500, and he was definitely trending up.
Better than what they had before.
Yeah,
he was building a team.
With a mediocre quarterback at best.
Yeah, but he was building a team, and he was building. He had a really good defense.
Yeah,
and inexplicably gets fired, and then the whole thing comes unraveled.
Did you see the allegations he made against the owner that the owner offered him $100,000 per loss?
Yeah,
because he wanted to tank. That guy could potentially lose his franchise now if that's found to be true.
Yeah, well, I believe tanking was real in the NFL until this year where I saw the Detroit Lions and the Jacksonville Jaguars go out in week 17 or 18 or whatever it was this year and get wins. When all they need to do, all Detroit needed to do was lose after Jacksonville screwed it up and couldn't even lose properly. That's all they had to do. So therefore, I don't even know if tanking is actually real, but I would not be surprised if there are years that that's a thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's true, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens more often than not.
Well, you can tank by putting a less than quality project on the field, less than quality product on the field. Not, you know, I mean, it's been happening in baseball for the past 10 years.
Right.
Teams have been quote unquote tanking, you know, playing rookies, not bringing in high priced free agents. But to actually incentivize a head coach to lose a game,
I feel like
next level stuff.
I feel like they came out and said that it was taken out of context. He wasn't actually offered money.
No,
I
don't know if the NFL is investigating it.
Yeah, but I want to say I don't know if it was because I feel like it was a different team that the same thing happened. And I want to say I don't know if it was Miami or I think it was another team. Might have been Washington.
There wasn't. Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me if it was Washington.
Wouldn't surprise me if it was Washington. Snyder's a psycho.
So, but I do feel like it was a different team. And then one of them came out and said, no, they got misquoted. That's not what they meant. They weren't actually offered money.
It wasn't the Dolphins. It was the other team.
The other team. I can't.
Cleveland. It was Cleveland.
That makes sense, actually. That actually makes a lot of sense. And so, I don't know. But then this whole – what is the name of the rule? I don't even know what the name of the rule is.
The Rooney Rule?
Okay. How I'm gonna tread lightly. I don't agree with this rule. I don't. I really, truthfully don't agree with the rule. And I feel like it's an outdated rule. I feel like it's not really applicable to today's society and today's NFL and today's I don't. I'm sorry. I don't feel like it's applicable anymore.
You need to explain yourself why you don't feel that way.
Because I feel like coaching jobs go to the most qualified coaches. I don't feel like race has anything to do with it. I don't feel like I feel like there are more African American coaches now than there ever have been, and I feel like that the jobs go to the most qualified people.
Full disclosure, you are a white person.
Of course,
that.
Of course.
We are white people, so that should be a full disclosure. And in an ideal world, that is the way it should happen. It should be the most qualified player. But the reason the rule was instituted was black people were not even, or should I say people of color, were not even getting the opportunity to interview for the jobs. And the shining example of that is Mike Tomlin with Pittsburgh, who was not considered for the job, but had to interview for it because of the Rooney rule and ended up getting the job because he impressed the owners. So in that case, the rule worked.
How long ago was that, though?
That was, God, what's he been there? 10, like, 12 years?
I just feel like...
But my question is, these people are getting interviews, but you're still seeing... How is a guy like Eric Bieniemy not had a head coaching job? Every year, he is one of the top candidates, and he does not get the job. Why?
It's got to be he doesn't want to.
Well,
it has to be that he doesn't want it. It has to be that he does not want the job.
Why does he keep interviewing for them?
To fill the rule. To fill the rule.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to interview. The rule
has to interview
a minority. The minority isn't obligated to take the interview.
But here's the thing. Here's the problem with the rule, in my opinion. Now, you hear the reports that John Elway came to an interview disheveled and was hungover.
It was for Flores.
Is anybody shocked by that?
For the Broncos game.
First of all, is anybody shocked by that to start out? But that Elway showed up hammered to an interview? Like, no, I don't think that's
at 7:30 in the morning.
Yep. No. So he's hungover. Like, okay, I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. First of all, but secondly, things like that are going to happen. If a team has who they want to be their head coach, why do we have to, like, white, black, Asian, woman, like, what does it matter? If they have who they want as their head coach, why are they wasting people's times?
Well, the Rooney rule just says you have to interview them. It doesn't say you have to hire them.
Understood.
Which is what is at the heart of Flores' lawsuit against the NFL is because of the timing of the Belichick text to him, mistakenly thinking he was sending a text to Brian Daboll, congratulating him for getting the Giants job, when Flores hadn't even interviewed yet. So what happened was Belichick is essentially telling Flores Daboll's already got the job when Flores' interview was still 2 days away.
Understood.
So
I get
Flores
it.
Has already been discounted when he hasn't even interviewed yet.
But my point is that if a team has who they want as their head coach, they've interviewed the guy, they know that they want this guy, why are they going to waste people's times? That's what it is. Like, I'm sorry, if we wanted a third podcast host for this show and we interview candidate A and we love candidate A, why are we going to interview B, C, D, E, F, whatever it might be, if we know that A? Why are we going to waste their time? If we know that we have the guy that we want or girl that we want to be on this show, why are we going to waste everybody's time? Why can't we make that decision right then and there?
It's a complex issue, and it's not one that has a perfect solution.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But here's another scenario. Okay, this podcast is looking for a third host. And the Beantown Breakdown is looking for a third host. We interview candidate A. We like candidate A. Candidate A. They interview candidate C on our list first. They like them. Offer them the position. They wait. That C then waits until they hear from us. We know that we're going to have A. We're wasting his time by interviewing him or her. The other podcast then hires candidate B that they like because C said, "Oh, I want to wait a little bit, think about it, knowing if they have an interview with us." Then we go with A. Now they're out of job. When they could have had the other job. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. If a team or a podcast, in this case, if a podcast has who they want to be on it, why are we wasting people's time?
Well, it would be someone say Andy Reid stepped down and they wanted to give the job to Eric Bieniemy.
Okay, so now do they have to interview a white guy?
So now they don't have to interview anybody. They can just give him the job.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so why can't they do that? Do they have to interview a white guy?
Because we don't live in an ideal world where everybody gets the same opportunities.
Do they have to interview a white guy?
No, they don't.
Why? They can just give it to Bieniemy? They can just hand it to him?
Because it's an old boys
minority?
Because he's minority, because he's the most qualified.
Exactly. That's my point. That's exactly my point.
I know that's the point you're making, but we don't live in that society.
Well, then you know what? Then you need to get rid of the old-timey owners, and you need to get people to own these teams and franchises that believe in this kind of thing.
Old-timey owners and all the general managers, and it's an old boys club, and they hire the people that they're comfortable with instead of giving the job to the most qualified.
That's the root of the problem, then. It makes me mad.
It goes far beyond football.
Of course it does.
It goes
into
all walks of life, all businesses.
Of course it does. But it just feels like the world is changing, and the rule is an outdated rule. That's how it feels.
I don't think the rule is outdated. I think the seriousness of it is not, or the NFL doesn't take it as seriously. They find ways to skirt around it. Oh yeah, we brought him in. We interviewed him, but we like this other guy better.
How's that any different?
And you're seeing these guys that they're bringing in. It's like, who the hell are these people? I just can't believe that Bieniemy still does not have a head coaching job. Every year for the past 5 or 6 years, he has been listed as a candidate to go to all these different places. And then they end up hiring somebody that worked for Sean McVay. And that guy gets the head coaching job when he's had like 1 year as the quarterback's coach for McVay. And suddenly now he's the most qualified to get the job.
Actually, that did happen, didn't it?
Yeah. That was LaFleur. That was a couple of the guys. Just got introduced by Minnesota today. Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah. He was the offensive.
You're trying to tell me Kevin O'Connell is more experienced and more qualified to be a head coach than Eric Bieniemy?
No, absolutely not. But Bieniemy interviews, though. It's not like he's not getting the interviews. He's getting the interviews.
I thought he had a good shot to get the New Orleans job. Is that one still open?
Or
did
the
they
Raiders?
Fill that one?
Or the no, they filled it. Or the Raiders jobs. The Raiders job.
The New Orleans job was filled.
Let me look. I think it is. Dennis Allen.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Another white guy. I don't know. It just feels like to me, there's women referees now. It's a different time, and I don't know.
I mean, there are women coaches, too, but I mean,
if I were
I always assume that they have to be three times better than any man just to get not only to get the job, to even get thought of as getting interviewed for the job. They have to be three times better than your average male white coaches that are in the league.
No, they don't have to be.
Yes, they do. They have to.
They're more to prove. That's
it's hard for me to explain it.
No, I get what you're saying. Mine is not a race or gender. It's not that. It's not that at all. It's just that I truthfully feel like if I were Brian Flores, I don't think I would be upset about the interview process. I'd be more upset about the fact that I inexplicably got fired from the team that I was just on. I don't know. Is that a hill that you're willing to stake your entire career on at this point?
Yeah, obviously it was for him.
I get it.
The question is, does he get a job anywhere now, or has he committed career suicide?
You'd have to think that he's committed. Colin Kaepernick committed career suicide by doing almost the exact same thing.
A little bit of a different time and a little bit of a different target.
Agreed.
He went after the police.
Agreed.
At a time when people weren't as eye-opened about some of the issues with the police.
Agreed. But it still feels like it. I don't know. The thing is, I think he's a great coach too. He should have a job. He shouldn't have lost
hope
his
that
job.
The Patriots would bring him back. He's a guy I would love to see come back.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
And I think Belichick would do something like that. I think he would bring him back. You know, as a giant middle finger to the rest of the league.
Maybe. And maybe they should, and then he can take over when Bill leaves. Like, fine. I don't know. It's the rule to me. The rule to me bothers me for some reason. Like, it's just like, it just seems like it's a waste of everybody's time. It really does.
Well, I think that's a good way to put it if the league is not going to take it seriously and seriously consider these candidates. And so they're violating the spirit of the rule.
Right, they're not. It's not taken seriously. It's not. It clearly it's not. Right. This proves that it's not.
Right. Now, we don't know what the Giants' thinking was when they hired Daboll before they even hired Flores. Maybe they were just totally blown away before they interviewed Flores. Maybe they were just totally blown away. Maybe they figured he was the perfect fit.
And if that's the case, then why do they have to interview anybody else? That's my question.
Because of the rule.
No, I get the rule. It just doesn't make sense.
But Flores still could have come in and blown them away even more. Who knows?
It just doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. If you have the guy, if you interview this guy and that's the guy, he's the guy, that's it. Research is over. You found the guy. It's done. You're almost doing the people that are coming in after that a disservice by interviewing them. You're wasting their time.
But you don't know that until you interview them.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
I'll tell you, I have been involved in the interview process where I work, and there was a case where just looking at resumes, we picked a certain group of people to be interviewed. Didn't like any of them. Went to the next group, interviewed them. Didn't like any of them. Went to the third group, found a guy that we really, really liked, and he's gone on to be a really good employee for us. Years.
Good. So you didn't find the person.
But
now,
if we had just settled for that first group and not gone beyond that,
if we kind of liked
somebody and just said, all right, we'll give this guy the job.
We're talking about two different things here. If the guy in the third group had interviewed in the first group, you never would have interviewed the second group or the third group because you would have hired the guy that you liked in the first place. That's my point. So if you find the guy that you like, you find the guy that you want, the search is over. That's it. You're done. You don't need to interview anymore. It's done. It's not,
but I think that's a rare case where you're just going to have somebody come in and just
these teams know who they want to be their head coach.
They know who they are, but I mean, you see a guy how he functions as a coordinator. That's a huge jump from being a coordinator or somebody like Joe Judge, who was a special teams coach, that comes in and can make that jump to head coach. You got to deal with the media.
How many times do you see?
It's a much, much bigger position. So yeah, you know how they can function as a coordinator. But to be a head coach is a different story.
How many times before anybody is the head, like Doug Peterson gets fired in Jacksonville. 20 minutes later, Urban Meyer is the favorite to be the head coach. You think that's an accident? You think that people are just like, oh, I'm thinking Urban Meyer is going to come and coach here. No, these teams know who they want before they even go through this process. They know who they want before they interview. And it almost feels like it's that guy's job to lose. Unless he goes in there and completely tanks his interview or doesn't want the job.
When you get a high-profile person like that, yeah, I agree with you. That was probably the fix was in for him from the start. Somebody like Jim Harbaugh, when he was interviewed by Denver, do you think if he wanted to go to Denver, he'd be there right now?
100%.
Of course he would.
100%. And that's the point, is that if you have a guy that you want, that's it. Done.
But I don't think Minnesota fired their head coach and said, we got to get Kevin O'Connell.
Maybe
we
not.
We got to get him here.
Brian Allen.
No, Brian Allen went to
New Orleans. You're right.
Dennis Allen.
Or maybe they did. Brian Allen. Maybe they isn't
Who's
he a singer?
Brian Allen.
Isn't he a singer? I don't know. Whatever. That's the thing. And you know what? I hope that Flores is on a coaching staff soon. Not even soon. I hope before that he will have another. He'll be on another coaching staff because I think he is a good coach. I think he did really well with the defense here. I think he did really well in Miami as a head coach. He handled the media. I mean, it's Miami, but he handled the media.
I'll tell you, I was concerned with what he was building there in Miami.
Yeah.
You could see that culture developing, and that was a team that was learning how to win. And they beat the Patriots twice this year.
I think they beat the Patriots three out of the last four times they played the Patriots.
Four out of the last five or something like that. they were definitely a team on the rise. And now I think they've just blown it up again.
Yeah, because they're dumb. They're dumb. They're dumb. The dumb. Dumb. We can continue to talk about dumb. The biggest news in the history of the world ever to happen to anything ever. Not man lands on the moon.
Before we go on to that, do we want to talk about the Super Bowl a little bit?
Honestly, no. No, because the Super Bowl to me was anticlimactic. The Super Bowl to me was, I guess it was a pretty good game. But the Super Bowl came down to penalties,
that
which sucks. Which
that
sucks.
Was unfortunate.
ticky-tack penalties on the defense.
They had been letting the boys play for 3.5 quarters.
A clear missed face mask on another touchdown.
Yep.
It was just like the epitome of the whole season with the refs sucking all year. I do love Sean McVay, though. Like, I've been rooting for the Rams for probably 6 weeks, 7 weeks now, because I feel like they're the most talented team. Truthfully, their superstar power is incredible. I like Matthew Stafford. I think he got hosed in Detroit. And I love Sean McVay. Love McVay. And so I've been rooting for the Rams for a while. And then they beat the Bucks, and I'm like, let's go.
Suddenly became your team.
Rams all the way. Yeah, I got a Super Bowl t-shirt in the closet now because a big Rams guy. I got a big Cooper Kupp jersey hanging in there too. Not actually. But I have been rooting. And I've said the Rams for a long time. Anybody who listens to me talk, maybe on the podcast or in real life or just my nonsense that I generally spew, I've been saying the Rams. Before the playoffs even started, I said the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl.
Midway through the season, they look like a juggernaut. They look like the favorites. And then they hit a skid. They hit a skid badly.
And then they got OBJ. Not a big deal. Got OBJ. Vaughn Miller. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Like they.
I mean, they are a stacked team.
Yeah.
They did go out by their team. It's not like they developed some of their players, but they also brought. I mean, like an Aaron Donald was already there. But I mean, when do they have another first round draft pick? I don't think they have one for the rest of the 2020s.
Probably not.
Because they've mortgaged their whole future. So their time was now. They had to win.
And then they got their quarterback.
But they got it done. I mean, they got a quarter. They got a quarterback.
I'll tell you what.
I mean, I don't think he's one of the. He did not look great in that game.
He
had two
he
interceptions in that game.
No,
one
he
really
didn't.
Wasn't his fault because it bounced off of somebody's hands. But he wasn't that great in the game. He looked like he was. There were times when it looked like the moment was overwhelming him. He was overthrowing guys. He was underthrowing guys.
Agreed.
I mean, they for most of the third quarter, it was just punt after punt after punt for both teams.
Agreed. And
but was there ever any point where you thought the Bengals are going to steal this?
Yes. When.
I'll tell you when I thought it was.
About
when
halfway.
They came out, scored the touchdown on the opening play of the second half, and then got the interception on the ensuing play after that. But
no.
They were only able to muster a field goal on that drive, even though they had the ball like the 35, somewhere in that range. They were only able to get a field goal out of it.
I want to say about halfway through the fourth quarter, they were still out. They were up by, what, 4?
But even at that point, you could just see that what was going to happen.
Well, it felt like – I mean, honestly, I feel like the Rams got a little lucky because they got a little ticky-tack DPI call.
They also got a weak holding call.
They did on third and long. So even on that drive, it was like the Rams looked like they're coming back, but it still looked like the Bengals' defense was gonna hold them, and then the penalties. So, but the best part of the game was the halftime show. Honestly, I would have.
Which I did not watch. I went out to snowblow my driveway.
Well, you missed out big time because it was.
Well,
incredible.
That's not exactly. I'm not the demographic. 59-year-old white men are not the demographic they were shooting for with that halftime show.
I'll tell
show.
You what. You know what the demographic they were shooting for? Mid-30s, because they nailed it. Because
And you're the guys that buy stuff, so yeah.
And I was glued to the TV, made sure I did not miss it. And honestly, I would have preferred they just called the game at the half and let the halftime show go for the remainder of the time slot on TV, because it would have been incredible. The only gripe is that there were too many people and everybody can only do one song. How do you bring Eminem out for a halftime show and only have him do one song, one snippet of a song? Give me a break. And if you're Kendrick Lamar, how do you pick the song? I don't even know what the song he picked. I don't even know it. He's got a million good songs, and he picks that stupid song. Those are the only two gripes. That it wasn't long enough, and you only let Eminem go on for about 45 seconds.
And then he took a knee.
I don't care about that. I could care less.
I don't care about that either.
I could care less. But, yeah, so overall, I didn't bet on the game because I wanted to be able to enjoy the game. I still didn't really enjoy the game. Like, it wasn't.
No, you brought up a good point that it was anticlimactic, especially after the last two weekends of the playoffs, where you had every game come down to the last play.
Right.
You just take that Kansas City Buffalo game out. That was like one of the greatest games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the AFC NFC championship, and then the weekend before that,
the divisional,
all great games.
Was it the divisional round that every single game was won in on a last second field goal?
Last second or overtime.
Like that was the divisional round, and then the AFC the championship round was good, and then the Super Bowl was just kind of like meh.
Man,
maybe it's because I didn't really care if either team won. Maybe that has something to do with it. Like last year you cared because Brady was in it, and this year you're just like, okay, well, it'd be nice.
But for long stretches, it just wasn't a good game. I mean, three and out.
Yeah.
How many? What was Burrow sacked? 9 times?
Well, that's pretty much this whole season. So
I just never had that feeling that they were going to pull it off. For a little bit, I thought, well, this could be the 2001 Patriots again, but. No, the real Bengals showed up.
Yeah, I'll tell you
what,
though.
I got a question for you. How do you pronounce Bengals? Because I've heard it Bengals, Bangles, and Bingles.
Bengals.
That's it. Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals.
Am I saying it correctly?
I think you're saying it correctly.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals. But
there's an E in there. Bengals.
That is an E.
Bengals.
Bengals. Not Bangles.
It's a soft E.
Yeah. Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, now from the South. Cincinnati Bengals.
I've heard people say Bengals too.
Well, that's brutal. So am I. That's brutal. I'll tell you this though. I'll tell you this for free. If I were a Cincinnati Bengals.
You just said Bengals.
Hold on. I just got an issue with my microphone. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, good. It said people are having trouble hearing you. Try moving closer to your mic. I don't think I can get any closer to my microphone.
I hear you fine.
Literally, I don't think I can get any closer. Okay, Skype, go home. You're drunk. If I were a Cincinnati Bengals fan, I would be very, 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 very excited for the future. Very excited for the future.
They got to get an offensive line.
Get me an offensive line. Get me an offensive line. Give me one offensive lineman, maybe two. And I think the defense is pretty good. Burrow has a huge sack, and Ja'Marr Chase is unbelievable. That catch he made down the sideline where like it just looked like he wasn't even looking and then caught it in stride and was falling. Like, unbelievable.
He's the real deal.
And Mixon can run. Like they've got
a decent tight end in Uzama.
They've got something there. I think that they could be them in Buffalo.
Right, I'm going to make a prediction right now they don't make the playoffs next year.
No, come
that's
on.
Usually the way these things happen. Teams,
no,
teams
no,
go,
no.
Teams
they're not
going
to be – that's the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Atlanta Falcons. That's not going
to
happen.
Patriots, after they won their Super Bowl, did not go to the playoffs the next year.
They didn't win. They lost.
Yeah, that's usually how it works to get to the playoffs. You got to win.
No. I'm saying the Bengals didn't win the Super Bowl.
I know.
They lost the Super Bowl.
Teams that lose the Super Bowl have even
a
worse record of making the Super Bowl the next year.
My bad. I thought you said win the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl. I do think – didn't Brady get hurt one of those years? That seems like
no, that was the year after the nearly undefeated season that he got hurt.
I think the Bengals are going to make the playoffs. I think that they're probably an offensive line – two offensive linemen away from being one of the best teams in the AFC. Like them, Buffalo, Kansas City.
Yeah, but now they're going to be drafting next to last.
No, I understand. But that might actually do better for them because they had the fifth overall pick needed a – they lose their quarterback because they can't protect him, have the fifth overall pick, and take a wide receiver.
Everybody was laughing at that pick when it happened, but
worked out.
It worked out for
worked
them.
Out. Worked out pretty well.
At least short term.
Yeah, it'll work out long. He's legit. That's a legit combo they've got going there. All right, let's do it. Should we just go now? Like, it's not even – we're going to talk about the biggest news. Let's just go now.
So you're talking about David Ortiz getting elected to the Hall of Fame?
No surprise there. No surprise.
No, but kind of a surprise on who didn't get in, which was nobody else.
We talked about this before, and the Bonds and the Schilling and the Pete Rose. We talked about this already.
I know we did, but I thought somebody was going to sneak in.
No. Old timey baseball writers. Yeah. Old timey baseball writers. Like the guy who just turns in his ballot every year and doesn't vote for a single person. Why do you even have a vote? How do you even allow that person to still have a vote? Whoever it is, a ballot member 10. How do you let that guy have a vote? How?
Because he's always had one, and
I think you have to be.
You know how you have to be retired 5 years before you can get into the hall? I think you have to be dead 5 years before they take your vote away.
Maybe that's what it is. He's in year 4 of death, so that's why he's turning in zero votes. No, no surprise Ortiz. Actually, is any surprise he was the first ballot, right? Any surprise he was the first
ballot? Yeah, a little bit because he had his own steroid controversy.
Whoa, that happened during an anonymous thing. Well, it wasn't supposed to come out.
Still,
you know,
came
what I'm
out. And he's still claiming he doesn't know what he tested positive for, yada, yada. I can't say I believe him. You're going to tell me these athletes do not know what they're putting in their body? I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. I know he's
just like
his
old
everybody
highlights.
In Boston loves him, and he's this great mythical figure. We just buy everything the guy says. No, sorry. I'm not buying it.
Just look at him when he was in Minnesota compared to when he was in Boston. Like, it's simple. It's like Barry Bonds. Like, when he was in Pittsburgh as opposed to when he was in
Minnesota. And he also had a wrist injury midway through his career. Oh, gee. Well, I think his was a hamate bone, but still.
Come on. Like, let's not play stupid here.
But, I mean, if...
I would say more of the DH thing is more what surprised me.
Well, I mean, the combination of the two.
Correct, yeah.
I was surprised that he got in the first ballot.
Ultimately, I don't think I was surprised. I think that if there was any question that he wasn't going to... If he didn't get in because of the first ballot thing, I think it would be because more so the DH than the steroids. Because it also feels like he, like, schmoozes the media.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the media loves him, and so, like... All these old time, they love
but,
him. So
but you had Edgar Martinez get in as a DH, so
yeah, you,
that
he
precedent
paved the
had
way.
Already been set.
Yeah, he paved the way a little bit, but okay.
Did you see the list of people who are eligible next year?
No,
not a stellar group at all. So you're probably not going to have anybody get in on the ballot next year.
Is that 22 Hall of Fame ballot or is it the 23 ballot?
Probably be the 23 ballot.
Yeah, because. Clemens and Bonds. Now, do you think they'll get Bonds will get in on the what is it, the committee can vote him
yeah,
in?
Yeah, they still have an outside chance of getting in this year from this other committee, and I'm not sure how that all works, but there is still a possibility that they could get in. If not, I think they're frozen out for another 10 years at least before it goes to the Veterans Committee.
The first year ballot this year is a joke.
For next year.
Yeah. Jonathan Broxton, Glenn Perkins, Chad Qualls, Adam Lynn, Joe Blanton, Houston Street, Joaquin Benoit, Stephen Drew, Francisco Rodriguez, Andre Ethier, Ubaldo Jimenez, Carlos Ruiz, Eric I. Like, what? R.A. Dickey, Bronson Arroyo, Mike Napoli, Jason Wirth, Jacoby Ellsbury. Carlos Beltran, maybe.
I thought Jacoby Ellsbury was still an active player, still on the disabled list. Who did you say maybe?
Carlos Beltran.
Oh, Beltran. Yeah, maybe Beltran.
Francisco Rodriguez, maybe.
Beltran had the cheating scandal related to Houston, so that's going to tarnish his record.
Maybe Francisco Rodriguez?
Yeah, not a great crop.
That's a terrible group. The whole thing's just not good. Anyway, all right, can we please talk about Brady now?
Oh, if we have to.
Brady retires.
Did he?
No. Well, never say never.
Did he really?
Clown.
Can I give you my biggest gripe with the whole thing?
Yeah, sure.
They leaked the announcement that he's going to retire the Saturday before the AFC and NFC championship games, which is arguably the best weekend of football, maybe the second best weekend of football in the entire schedule. They leak that out and take all the news away from the conference championship games.
Who leaks it, though?
You don't think it came from Brady's camp?
Oh, of course it did.
Okay.
Look at how this whole thing has played out.
So
look at how this whole friggin' thing has played out.
So he lets that information get leaked out and takes all the attention away from
talk about me.
From the Burrows, from the Mahomes, from the guys going to play the conference championship game.
The name of this episode will be Talk About Me because I'm going to say it a million times here in the next 5 minutes. I know it. But that's what this whole thing has been about. You didn't make it. You got beat, kid. Like, go home. Like, please shut up. Like, just don't talk for the next month. There's no reason for you to announce that you're going to retire at all before the end of the season. Zero. Like, you can. Like, there's absolutely no need
for it. You can wait till after the Super Bowl. That's for damn
easily.
Sure.
Easily, but no, here's what happens.
Announce it Pro Bowl weekend. We got to talk about the Pro Bowl, too.
Here's what happens. Championship weekend, it gets leaked. Then he comes out and says, I haven't made any decisions.
His father comes out and says, Tommy hasn't made up his mind yet.
Liar. Oh, Tommy, thanks,
He needs
Dad.
To go away, too.
Hey, Dad. Dad, could you talk for me? Dad, just tell people what I do professionally, please. Tell everybody what I do. Talk for me, please. Speak for me. Then he says, oh, I actually haven't made – there's been no decisions made. Then the championship weekend happens. And then mysteriously, after that – now nobody's talking about him again, mind you. Nobody was talking about it anymore because they were talking about the championship weekend, which was good football. Now he's going to announce his retirement and stiff the Patriots. So what are people talking about? Tom Brady again retiring, and then Tom Brady stiffing the Patriots, and then that starts to cool down. Then he does a video and thanks Kraft and thanks the Patriots, and oh, talk about me, please. Everybody talk about me. Everybody talk about me. And then right before the Super Bowl, what does he do? What does he do? Never say never.
Yeah.
Never say never.
Yeah.
Never say never. Oh, Tom, first of all, if he's retired, why are we even still listening to his interviews? Why do we care? Oh, are you really down with football? What kind of question is that? What kind of question? Well, never say never. Buy my clothing line. Talk about me, please.
Yeah, release the clothing line while the whole thing was going on, too.
Oh, how like, why do I want to wear something? Like, why do I want to wear something that says Brady? Why? Why would I want to buy a piece of clothing that says Brady? I said this when we were talking about it the other day, so it takes away a little bit of this thing. Like, who are you, Tommy Hilfiger? Like, no, you're not. Who are you, Michael Kors? Like, why am I going to buy something that has your name on it? Why? Why? Why are you going to charge me for overpriced Lululemon, which is already overpriced? Like, no, please go away. Go away. And how are you going to sit here and a week later after you just came out and said, my heart isn't in football anymore? That's essentially what he said, correct?
Yeah.
He essentially said, my heart isn't in football anymore. And when I said, my heart isn't going to be in football and I can't give 100%, 110%,
you can't make 110%, the commitment.
I can't make the commitment. I have other things that I want to focus on, my clothing line, my health guru stuff, my concussion water, my creepy massages and kissing my son on the mouth at the age of 12. I think his family
was in there somewhere. I don't think he actually said kissing his son on the mouth.
No, but he pisses me off so bad.
Really? You couldn't tell
so
you
bad.
Had it so well.
So bad. And then he says, Tom, are you really done playing football? Well, never say never. It's like, you just said never. You just said you weren't into it anymore. That was you. Nobody said that for you. That was you. You said you can't commit. That was you. Your freaking Instagram said it. You. Or did you get hacked? Did you get hacked, Tommy? Did Daddy post it for you? Like, come on. It was you who said your heart's not in it anymore. Please stop being coy. You're not cute. You're almost 50 years old. You're a grown adult. Act like it. Please. All right, I'm begging you. Go away.
Just from a business perspective, looking at teams around the league.
No.
Why would anybody
no.
bring him in at this point?
No.
Who? I was trying to think of a team that would want to bring him in. You've got to be totally desperate to want to bring in a 45-year-old quarterback. Although we said the same thing about Tampa Bay, and he ended up winning a Super Bowl there. But, I mean, at this point, what are you going to get? One year out of
him? Who cares?
Two? And then he's going to pull the same shtick again?
Here's the thing. Why do we care? Why do we care anymore?
Because he's the GOAT.
Oh, give me a break with the GOAT stuff. Don't even get me going on that. Give me a break.
You know why people care. I mean, he had become the face of football, especially after Peyton Manning retired. I mean, we still got Peyton Manning everywhere, and the guy retired 6 years ago.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning is entertaining. Peyton Manning is witty. Peyton Manning is funny. Tom Brady has just been a rich, spoiled brat his entire life and doesn't even have any sense of realism to him. None.
Not anymore. None. No, not anymore. He's definitely lost that.
None. The dude gets hammered. Like, the only sense of human that he had was he got hammered on his little boat parade and he threw the Lombardi trophy and then he makes a joke about being drunk off avocado vodka. You don't get it.
Oh, I don't think you probably didn't see the tweet today when they posted something from Stafford at the Rams parade today.
Was he hammered? Stafford's probably drinking Bud Lights.
He was smoking cigars and then Brady tweeted, remember to mix in a water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're hilarious. You're hilarious, Tom. Tom, mix in a water. Like, that's all. Oh, that is grade A. And you know what? You should try a comedy tour next. That's what you should do next. Okay, forget the clothing line. Forget the health shtick and the nutrition. Go on tour for comedy.
Brady Comedy
Please.
Jam.
Please. Here's a serious question. If he wants to go on TV, yes, I understand any network will bring him on because he's Tom Brady. But is he going to be anywhere near as entertaining as Peyton Manning? We talk about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is entertaining. He's funny. He gets it.
Well, will he be better than Tony Romo?
Probably not. Probably not, honestly. Honestly, think about it. What sense of realism does Tom Brady have to a normal human being? in any aspect of his life. Billions of gajillion dollars, a supermodel wife, a supermodel baby mama. Literally, anybody will give him anything in the world that he wants. Anything. Anything at all. People will give it to him just because of who he is. There's no sense of reality there. There's no sense of realism there.
Well, I think there's he's at the top of the scale. But I mean, it's not like Troy Aikman has a part-time job flipping burgers somewhere.
Troy Aikman is good. Troy Aikman is good.
But I'm saying these guys are also Hall of Fame quarterbacks who were idolized where they played.
Of course, but Troy Aikman is real. Troy Aikman has a sense of realism. Troy Aikman will criticize people. Troy Aikman will use examples as to how when he played. He can speak. Everything Brady does is cringe. Cringeworthy. It is brutal. Right down to the timing of everything.
I don't know if it's cringeworthy. I think it's just everything he does seems to be so calculated.
It's delusional.
I mean, he's admitted that. For all these years, he has said what he thought he should say, not what he was really thinking and feeling.
Do us all a favor and just say nothing. Like that'd be great. Like, just say nothing.
But
nothing.
I mean, this always happens when a person gets to a point of celebrity is they can do nothing wrong.
Yeah, they don't
matter.
They
could walk in, they could take a dump on the table, and everybody would think it would be, isn't that great? Isn't that hilarious? Look what Tom did.
They'd pick it up and sell it on eBay for $3 billion. That's what
right.
would happen.
Right. So, are we jealous of that? Yeah, I think we are.
Not.
No?
Nope, not even slightly.
I don't know.
Nothing about that man's life makes me jealous. Nothing. Nothing. And even as an athlete, as a competitor, nothing. I would rather be me. I 100% would rather be me than be that out of touch with reality. 100%.
I'd take some of the money in the big mansion
in
Florida.
Sure,
I'd take
of course.
Some of, that.
Of course you would. But all together, nope. I could, like, to be that delusional and to be that, oh my God, and to see grown men, oh my God, friends of mine, people I know, people I've played sports with my entire life, like, I'm a grown adult. Like, people I've played with are grown adults posting sob stories and depressing posts and talking about how they're going to cry because Tom Brady retired. What? What? Do you think Tom Brady cares at all? You know what Tom Brady cares about? As if you're going to buy his little Brady shirt. That's all Tom Brady cares about. He doesn't care about the emotional impact that he's had on your life. He doesn't care about the fact that you're going to cry and you have – I'm sorry. If you have a Brady Michigan jersey, you
– That's a hard-o.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
That's a hard-o.
Goodbye.
You know, if Brady actually cared about you crying because he retired, he probably wouldn't have left New England in the first place.
Exactly. Please. Yeah. Oh, you changed – please explain to me how Tom Brady changed your life.
Yeah. Tom Brady never played a second in the NFL, you'd still probably be right where you are. Working whatever job you're doing, living wherever you're living.
You aren't kidding.
You're
not kidding.
Undoubtedly, he gave us enjoyment for 20 years.
Oh, of course.
He gave us some great moments.
He made football watchable. So Tom Brady changed your life because you enjoyed watching football because you went to Gillette a few times? That's how we changed. That's okay. He made New England football watchable.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, too, because it was just recently Drew Bledsoe's birthday. You know, everybody gives Brady all the credit for the Patriots.
Big Drew fan.
It was really Bill Parcells and Drew Bledsoe that put the Patriots on the map and got them going in the direction that they're going. They lucked into the Brady thing.
Of course, no.
Why do you think that stadium is there right now? Do you think Brady had anything to do with that? No. It was Kraft. Yes,
Kraft.
But it was Parcells, the hiring of Parcells, which was not hired by Kraft, that gave the team legitimacy. And then drafting Drew Bledsoe and having those good teams. And that's when they hired Parcells, which again, Kraft did not hire Parcells. It was the previous owner. Suddenly there was a sellout. There's been a sellout every game since Parcells was hired as the coach. That's why you have that new stadium there. It's because of Brady that you have everything that's built up around it. But it was Parcells hiring that made that a legitimate franchise.
I need to know. Someone tweet at me, @vintage_trav. How did Tom Brady change your life? Like, how did he affect your life? I need to know. took everything in me not to comment. And I'm talking like some of my best friends did like posted about how sad they were. I'm like, guys, I got to rethink this friendship. What? Who had more of an impact on your life, me or Tom Brady? Me or Tom Brady? I need to know right now, because if you say Tom Brady, we're no longer friends. Because it's the worst.
I recall seeing a picture of you with one of your friends, and he was wearing a red Tom Brady jersey. You were tailgating to go to a Patriots game.
No, you're 100% correct. And the smarter of the two friends had a Mac Jones jersey on because he's looking into the future, not into the past. You're 100% correct.
I always question
and then
why
the smartest
another,
one of all, and the smartest one of all is a grown man who didn't put another grown man on his back and just wore a Patriots sweatshirt. He was the smartest one of all.
That's what I was going to say. I always question why a grown man would wear another grown man's jersey.
Yeah, but I just don't understand how Tom Brady changed.
You know what gets me is all the tweets. Thank you, Tom. I mean, what Tuukka Rask. Thank you, Tuukka.
What are we thanking Tuukka for? Yeah, thanks.
What does he ever win?
Thanks for the memories, Tuukka. Thanks for the memories, Tom.
Thanks for having the sports,
I'm over
Tuukka.
It. Tom Brady's retiring. Oh, so next year Tom Brady won't be in the NFL. Okay, well, let me see how long that took me to get over. About 0.2 seconds. Over it. Don't care. Let's go Rams. Well, like, that's how I felt. Like, who cares?
I mean, he was gone from here, so he's been dead to me for the last 2 years anyway.
2 years. Yeah. So you think that would soften the blow, but no, not for these Brady diehards. Oh, my God. Give me a...
All right, so this was one of my quick thoughts that ties into what we're talking about now. I guess it's not going to be a quick thought. Let's call it an opening thought. So there was some talk that Brady was going to come back and sign a one-day contract so he could retire as a Patriot. Can you explain to me what the purpose of the one-day contract so you can retire is? What does that serve?
Zero. Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely
means
nothing.
If you wanted to retire as a Patriot, you should have retired as a Patriot. And if I was Robert Kraft, that's probably what I would have said. Mind you, I can't stand him. But if you wanted to retire a Patriot, Tommy boy, you probably should have just stayed a Patriot for the last 2 years or retired 2 years ago at 43 like a normal human being, or maybe 5 years ago like a normal human
being. Normal human beings don't retire at 43.
Okay, well, okay, as a normal athlete.
As a normal athlete.
As a normal athlete, you probably should have just called it quits back in the 2008-3 days.
Something left. He went somewhere else. He won a Super Bowl. Good for him.
Okay,
good for
cool.
him.
Don't care.
But
don't need to retire as a Patriot. Because
you left the Patriots. You went somewhere else.
Well, here's the question. When he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is going to be, oh, my God, I'm literally going wherever I don't get service that day. I got to find a place in the world where there's no service, and I'm going there for the week that Tom Brady gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. Because I'm already throwing
so,
up.
So, I mean, we know – I mean, there's no doubt he's going to get into the Hall of Fame, right? I mean,
there's not one
of these things where we got to go back and look at his stats or anything like that.
No, of course
not.
We knew
10 years ago he was going to get into the Hall of Fame.
Of course.
So my thing is, why wait the 5 years? Just put him in the Hall of Fame now, and then just close the freaking thing, because there's no reason to put anybody else in there afterwards.
Yeah, and be done with it. You're not wrong. Well, he'll probably buy the Hall of Fame and call it the Brady of Fame by then.
It's like the Red Sox did with David Ortiz. They didn't wait the 5 years to put him in the Red Sox Hall of Fame. They just put him in the Hall of Fame and retired his number.
Yeah.
He could have come back and played. I mean, it was that close to when he retired. It was that same next season, halfway through. That they
which
did
is
all
fine.
Of that.
Which is how it should be. Close the book. Move on. Thank you. See ya. Thanks for the memories. See ya. Bye, Tom. See ya. I just don't care.
The Bulls retired Michael Jordan's number after he retired the first time, and then he ended up coming back.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So
good.
You know,
yeah,
it doesn't mean you can't come
never
back,
say,
Tom.
Never say never. Never say never.
But back to the one.
Never say never, Jim.
He stiffed Jim Gray on the announcement too, because he did the show the Monday after the announcement was leaked. He did the show, told Jim Gray that he hadn't made up his mind yet, and then the very next morning puts the post on Instagram that he's retiring.
He had a little too much avocado vodka the night before.
Maybe it was the avocado toast that morning. Got him.
Do you care? Okay. Do you care that he stiffed the Patriots in his note?
He should have mentioned the Patriots. I mean, he played 20 years there.
So
he should have mentioned, if not the Patriots, the New England fans.
Agreed. But here's how I feel. Honestly, it should have been done. His contract is up, correct?
Yes.
It's done.
He signed a 2-year deal when he went to Tampa.
He should have made a post thanking the Tampa organization, thanking Bruce Arians, thanking whatever the owner's name is, thanking the Tampa fans, thanking his teammates, and then done a retirement post separate. You would have had even more eyes on you. We would have talked about you even more because there would have been all the speculation of where's he going to go, what's he going to do, and then do your retirement post. And that's where you can thank legitimately whoever you want, because it felt like it was a retirement post, but he also had to say something to Tampa for bringing him in. Because you remember he made a big long post about when he left here, so he can't just retire and not mention Tampa Bay. So it felt like it should have been done two separate things. The other thing is, why are we announcing retirements on Instagram? That's another thing.
Well, it's a new age.
Where's part of the new age? It still doesn't make sense.
Huh? Is he supposed to call a press conference?
Yeah, that would have been a circus. That would have been awesome.
You would have liked that?
Respect. No, I would have hated it. That would have been a circus. But now that he didn't do it, I can say respect, because that would have made it even more. But I do think that would have been a cool thing to do, is to call a press conference. What he should have done is called it like now, like today. After the Super Bowl's done, you call a press conference. You thank Tampa 3 weeks ago. You say, all right, like, thanks, appreciate you, love you, mean it. And that would have
fueled speculation even more.
Who cares? What does he care? He loves it. He talks about it. Hey, here's my clothing line. Buy a Brady shirt. Who cares? And then do a press conference. That would have been awesome. That's how I feel LeBron James is going to retire. He's going to hold a press conference and retire. That's why I feel like that's going to happen. That's what he should have done. But anyway, the one-day contract. We got off target. The one-day contract. When you retire as a Patriot, or when you retire from the NFL, you don't go into the Hall of Fame as whatever last team you played for, correct?
No.
So then it doesn't matter.
No.
It means absolutely nothing. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame as a Patriot, and who cares?
10 years from now, who's going to remember him playing for Tampa Bay? People in Tampa Bay. But I mean, When you think of Peyton Manning, do you think of him as a Denver Bronco?
No.
When you think of Joe Montana, do you think of him as a Kansas City Chief?
No.
When you think of Emmitt Smith, do you think of him as an Arizona Cardinal?
No.
He signed a one-day contract to retire as a Cowboy. Do you think of him as a former Cowboy player because he did that? No. You think of him as a Cowboy player because he played for the Cowboys for 10 years and broke all kinds of records and won 3 Super Bowls with them.
You know, I don't want to talk about this. It's funny because of the Patriots fans all scrutinize Peyton Manning for doing what he did, and then Brady does the exact, literally almost to the minute, the exact same thing.
No, because the Colts didn't want Manning back. Manning had the neck injury, which is why he didn't go back.
No, I know. But I'm talking about the Patriots fans just scrutinizing him for leaving and not being on the same franchise, and then going, and then he wins the Super Bowl, and then Brady does the exact same thing, and I just think it's funny.
But there's one difference. Manning got to retire as a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, Brady should have too.
Brady should have gone out after that.
He's too greedy. That was the one out of a storybook career. The year after you leave, you win the Super Bowl, and you ride off into the sunset with your avocado vodka. You should have just done it. He got greedy. He's egocentric. He's the worst. And you know what I'm so happy? Truthfully, what kind of sucks for me is that people are starting to come around on the whole Tom Brady's a jerk. Tom Brady's a doofus. Tom Brady is a... moron. Like, they're starting to come around on that, and now I just, like, when I talk about it now, like, to people who haven't known me for the last 25 years, it kind of seems like I'm just jumping on the train, and I, like, try and explain to them that I am, like, the conductor of this train, and, like, I've been,
you
like...
You built the train. I'll give you credit. You built the train.
And it's just, it's satisfying because people are starting to see it my way, but it's also, like, dissatisfying because it seems like now I'm just jumping on the bandwagon. It's like, no, like, this is. I've been on this for a long time. You were a Bledsoe guy.
You didn't have a chance from the start. When Bledsoe lost his job to Brady, you've hated Brady right from the start.
Yeah, no, I have. And he didn't have a chance from the start. And, you know, maybe I just pay attention to more of the negatives than anybody else did in his life, and saw through the wins. I mean, I, let me make something very, 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 very clear. I don't take away from anything that he did on the football field or how he is as a competitor. Absolutely nothing taken. Like,
well, you have some people who do say he was lucky his whole career.
No.
Lucky he played in the AFC East.
No.
Had the playoff things all lined up for him.
No.
I've seen those arguments.
No. I'm not even that bad.
Write articles for us.
That's true, actually. That's a good point. But no, I don't even feel that way. I'm not even that strong. I do think he's an incredible preparer for the game and a legitimate student of the game. Like, that's real. That's a real thing.
Yeah, he wasn't just a physical talent.
But the off the field stuff, no.
How many more times are we going to see that picture of him at the draft? That picture
Hopefully
of him
zero.
Standing in the baggy shorts and then
Hopefully
running
zero.
The 40-yard dash that they timed with a sundial.
Hopefully,
how many more times do we have to?
Hopefully,
that?
One more when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
You know they'll
I
show
feel like
that
that's
when he gets
the
199th pick again this year with the draft, which is going to be held in Las Vegas in a couple of months. You know when they get there, and what other person was drafted 199?
You're probably
and
right.
Then the musical cue up and.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
And I feel like that'll be his Hall of Fame bust. Will be a full body bust of him just in that. And it's that picture.
Oh. He had a dad bod at 21.
He looks better. He looks better at 45 than he did at 21.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And what's poor Alex Guerrero going to do now?
I don't
know. How many more people?
I don't know. Work at TB12 on Boylston Street.
Whatever it was, it worked for Brady.
No,
it did. It did.
Oh,
it worked for
God.
Brady. Now, maybe some of it was genetics, but for him to do what he did at the age that he was doing it, come on.
Oh, my God.
You gotta buy into it somehow. I'm not saying that plan works for everyone.
I'll tell you what. Make me 6'5 and give me an indisposable income that I can do whatever
I
want.
How many guys are – number one, you've got to have the genetics. You've got to have the will to do those things. I mean – the diet that he allegedly had. I mean, you and I could never go without eating a cheeseburger for any length of time.
If I was 6'5 playing in the NFL, had an indisposable income, I would make it work.
To that level, to that extent.
Even with a supermodel, I would make it work. I'd make it work.
No, I don't know. I think that's almost like a Rain Man level of focus that you
so
have
different.
To have.
To me, that's no different than watching like Mark Wahlberg bulk up for a movie and then lose weight for a different movie. Bulk up for this movie, lose weight for that movie. So it's no different than watching actors put on weight, lose weight, and getting into this character. It's no different than you know what blows my mind more than – I'm getting way off track. You know what blows my mind more than Tom Brady being in his top physical shape at the age of 45 is listening to Tom Holland speak in his actual accent and realizing that he's British and Spider-Man – and he doesn't have that – like,
oh, come on. Half the actors in Hollywood are British if you hear them talking for real.
That's more impressive to me, honestly. That's more impressive to me.
Doctor Strange is British. I mean, there's just a ton of them that are British.
How's that any different than like that's perfecting your craft? That's the same thing as what Brady did. He's just an athlete. LeBron James does the same thing. It's not. Oh my God!
Yeah,
the 40-year-old athlete. The 40-year-old athlete.
Then I'll give him credit too.
The 40-year-old athlete is not as big of a hoorah as it was. There's a 40-year-old lineman that just played for the Rams. A lineman. He can't hide behind a red practice jersey every single day and get protected so you can only hit him in the torso while he's playing a professional game.
No, undoubtedly, we're much more educated now than we were years ago when it comes to
medicine,
to nutrition and physiology and things like that. But all I'm saying is whatever it was that Brady did, it worked for him.
It did. You're right.
It worked for him. And I'm not saying it won't work for you and I to get in tip-top shape because we don't, number one, we don't have the commitment. We don't have the physiology for it.
Don't need to. Honestly, don't need to. Can sell cranes as a fat ass, can sell cranes with a six-pack. Doesn't really matter. Could do both. I mean, it's perfecting your craft. Like, that's what it is to me. Like, that's how I look at it. Like, he took perfecting his craft to the next level. Just like the best actors do. Just like the best athletes do. Just like the best soccer players, football players, hockey players, baseball players. They take perfecting their craft to the next level. And that's what he did. And had a lot of success on the field.
He took it
to the
level above the next level.
Fine,
came to
that's
commitment.
Fine. And that's mental fortitude that he has. That's his edge.
Can you imagine living with somebody like that? People. How exhausting that must be.
To what?
Living with somebody like that. How exhausting.
Please,
be.
You don't think Giselle does the same thing? What is she? 45? What does she have? 0.5% body fat.
I think
fat?
Anybody at the top
still
of
walking
their
in Victoria's Secret
has that type A plus personality.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
That the average person just can't even come close to.
Correct. But it's. I don't glorify it because I feel like it's just it is perfecting your craft. It's doing what you do as a profession at that next level. And I look, like I said, I'm joking about Tom Holland, but I'm serious. Like actors changing their accents or changing, like, I like talking in a Boston accent isn't as impressive to me as the people that do that. But like, if you're British and you talk talk like an American, that's impressive to me. It is.
What if you're American and you talk like British? Like you have a British accent.
If
you think that's
if you do it well, no, it's probably the same thing. But if you do it well, if Tom Holland talked in a Spider-Man voice and you didn't know anything about him, you wouldn't think he was from you wouldn't think he was British.
No, but I mean, actors are a dime a dozen. It's the majority of actors in Hollywood I think right now are British, both male and female. But how many people do we have that are 44 and still playing in the NFL at a extremely high level?
Nearly won the
MVP this year.
There's gonna be more upcoming. Brady just happened to be in during the time frame and took it to the next level with medicine and technology and sciences and understanding and nutrition. Like the whole nutrition thing is all still relatively new.
No, I was saying I don't know if you heard me. We talked about who retired first. Who was going to retire first? Tom Brady or Zdeno Chara? Because he was another one who was on the forefront of all the nutrition and stuff like that. But is he still producing at the high level that he did when he was younger? He's about the same age as Brady, right? Within a couple of years?
He's 44.
So same age as Brady. But is he still playing at a high level? No.
No. No.
So eventually your age catches up with you.
Yes, but...
No, there is no yes but.
There is a yes but when you're a top two defenseman in the NHL taking bruises every 82 games a year and a quarterback for 17 games a year. There's a big difference to your body there. I'm sorry, but there is.
Agreed.
There's a huge difference to your body, and your body's going to break down by taking more and more hits. And that's just what it is. I would not be surprised if we see more and more 40-year-old quarterbacks in the very, very near future. I would not be surprised.
Well, you're close to it now. I mean, Rodgers is getting up to that point.
I would not be surprised. Breeze was 40. Favre was over 40.
Right?
You're gonna see it. You're gonna see it more and more often, assuming that the quarterback, like,
well,
Kyler Murray.
But I mean, your classic pocket passers that don't get hit. Those are being replaced by the guys that are taking off and running and subjecting themselves to hit, like Lamar Jackson and Mahomes and guys like that. So that's going to play against them for the longevity.
Agreed. That was going to be my point, is that if you have the Kyler Murrays and the Deshaun Watsons and the kid from the Ravens, Lamar Jacksons, they're not gonna play into the 40s because they're taking too many licks. So, but if you have a pocket passer, like somebody like
a Burrow.
Yeah, Mac Jones. Well, you need an offensive line. You need an offensive line in front of Burrow before anything. But, you know, I mean, even Rodgers. Even Rodgers, I'd argue. Justin Herbert. I would not be surprised if that boy plays at least 44, 45.
If he's got the commitment to keep himself in shape.
Which, by all accounts so far, it sounds like he does. So, he's not even 25, so it's a long ways away. But I'm just saying, I would not be surprised if you're going to continue to see these things happen more and more often. And Brady was just the first one to do so.
First one to do it and produce at a high level. Because you said, there were, you know, Favre played until I think he was 42. But there was a steep drop off.
Yeah.
At the end of his career. Brady was getting better, you could say.
Let's not get crazy.
No. I mean, we thought he was done in his last few years with the Patriots. And then he went to Tampa Bay and got rejuvenated and was actually better.
With an all-star
cast. But he also had a lot more talent around.
With an all-star cast. Like, there's arguments on both sides. I'm not going to get into it. So.
All right. So you mentioned Mac Jones.
Yep.
Did you see his Pro Bowl antics?
I don't mind it.
Don't
mind it.
I wanted you to rail against it.
I love a little spunk in the young kids.
I did too. I thought it was great. I mean, given what the Pro Bowl is,
oh, it's
I think
joke.
It was great that the kid went there, had some fun, showed a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Because I kind of thought the kid was a robot.
That's just his voice. His voice is brutal.
Well, and the way he was at press conferences.
Yeah, his voice is brutal.
You know, that monotone. Well, we've all got to get better, and we've got to go out and perform, and we've got to work hard. And
yeah.
Yeah. But he showed a lot of personality at the Pro Bowl. It was fun. I mean, the game is just an absolute joke.
Yeah, it's not worth watching. But it's I don't mind.
They basically play two-hand touch, and I'm not exaggerating.
No. Oh, no. The play that Mac ran the whole length of the field was a two-hand touch play.
Yeah.
He two-hand touched him and called it dead, and then he did his little dance, or
yeah,
whatever his name is, Jefferson's dance or whoever it is.
I don't know what the dance is.
It's a dance that the Vikings guy does. It's called something, and I can't remember what it is. It's called something.
I know, but that was fun. He had some fun, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, no, it was.
And he did pretty well in the game too.
But
let's
played.
Pump the brakes on him being a Pro Bowl quarterback, because what was the list of guys that didn't go so that he could go?
Whatever, Pro Bowl guy.
I mean, give props to Mahomes for going. You know, nobody would blame Mahomes if he blew the thing off at this point in his career. Brady did it for years.
Nah, Brady blew it off this year.
Brady blows it off every year.
He just didn't care anymore.
I don't think Brady's gone in the last 15 years.
Well, that's because he's only playing in the Super Bowl, so there's
that. Well, yeah, that might have had a little. Well, yeah, well, that was when they used to play the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, he was too busy preparing for the next year. He couldn't go to the Pro Bowl. He was in the weight room.
So, yeah, let's pump the brakes, people, on calling Mac Jones a Pro Bowl.
Well, he played in the Pro Bowl, so.
He did play in the Pro Bowl.
So, can't take that away from him. But anything else you want to talk about? 2 hours in.
2 hours in. You know, we've got to record more frequently.
Oh, God, I hear this
so
every
we don't
time.
Have to go as long.
I hear this every single time. We didn't even really talk about two of the teams, so good for us. Good for us.
Well, we talked about all the teams.
Briefly.
A little bit.
Briefly, but we didn't really get too much on the Red Sox or the Bruins. But
There's not much going on with the Red Sox right now.
Not our baseball in general.
The baseball season is seriously in jeopardy.
I'm supposed to go to Pittsburgh this year.
Well, I hope you're not going until like August, because that might be opening day.
July, June. Yeah, we'll see.
I'll do my best Tony Romo. I don't know, Jim.
Yeah, no, we can get fully refunded on our Airbnb up until like 2 days before, so we're covered, but we're trying to do the baseball trip thing again, so Pittsburgh's on the list this year.
That's a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah. Sneaky good nightlife, supposedly, too. Like, good scene, yeah. Like bars and stuff around there. Sneaky good, supposedly. I don't know. But either way, I'll close it out so people can stop listening to us talk. The only person who's probably still listening is number one fan,
your
Deb,
mother.
Anyway. So that's probably the only person who's put up with it for this long. But no less, we appreciate you guys for listening. If you want some more content, some articles, check out some of the other podcasts, which have both been mentioned on this show, between Bleed Black and Gold and the Beantown Breakdown. You can check them out at bostonsportssyndicate.com. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at bostonsportssyn. If you want to go to a concert, a game, maybe if the baseball season starts, you can go to a game. Want to catch a hockey game late in the season here, maybe a Celtics game now that they turned it around, SeatGeek.com. Use code BSS at checkout. You save yourself $20 off of a $50 purchase. And I think that's all I've got for you today.
Manscaped.
That's as much as I'd like to talk about. Oh, go to manscaped.com, use code BSS. You will save yourself 20% and free shipping nationwide. I think that's pretty much everything. Anything
Nailed
I missed?
It. Nailed it.
Pretty good. I'm getting pretty good at this. So, yeah, anyway, thank you for putting up with us for 2 hours. And as always, thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Get the duck boats ready! Get the duck boats ready! After 39 long years, the Cup is back home! The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions!
Diving to the goal line! A touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it!
And number 17 soon to be raised to the Raptors.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible!
This is our f***ing city.